Recording.
Okay. Today is Tuesday, January 14th, 2020, at approximately 5:15 p.m. I am assuming all board members are present, Mr. Macklin and Ms. Donna.
Yes.
I'm going to move to item one, opening of the meeting, call to order, and the Pledge of Allegiance. Tell me when you're ready.
All right, we're ready.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. What?
No, I got lost for a second. The flags are... The American flag is over here on the other side.
Don, before we do anything...
Again, I apologize for my absence. Because of my family emergency, this isn't going to last forever. We're just at the tail end of getting some resolution. And just so you know, this is not a permanent thing. So I appreciate your patience with me.
Say, Don.
So moving on to item 1B, adoption of the agenda.
Yep, I've got just two things for you. Both Mr. Olmos and Brisa have my corrected copy. The minutes under regular board meeting December should be December 3rd, not December 8th. And I have made that correction here, but I did not do it on the one you have. And the second thing, which will actually be the second consent agenda, letter A, I have three chaperones to add to that list. And I can read those names when we get to it, but I just wanted you to know that when we go to adopt the agenda, that those two changes are made.
Okay, perfect. So, and also, just while we're at it, when we have three, the consent agenda, we have five, the consent agenda, but we have four, reorganization of the school board. Now, is that going to be, there's going to be a decision and a vote there, but it's still an action item, correct?
It is an action item, but the reorganization has to happen before we deal with any items for the 2020 calendar year. And so that's why we stopped it right there, because we're tying up 2019, and then everything from that point on is moving forward.
All right, will do. You ready?
Ready.
Okay, so item B, adoption agenda. I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda with a correction of December 3rd on mine instead of December 8th. And add two names to the chaperones for the dance, which we will address whenever we get to that item. Is that correct?
Three names, yes, three names.
I'll second that motion.
Okay.
Almost second.
So are you guys ready to go to item two?
Almost second and three
ayes.
Aye. Aye. Okay, three ayes. Okay. Okay, item two, and call to the public.
We don't have any sheets up here for call to the public.
No, no, there were nobody mentioned anything, and anybody out there, no.
All right, nothing for call to the public.
Okay, so moving on to item three, the consent agenda for finishing up the 2019 calendar year. Item A, approval of the minutes, regular board meeting of December 3rd, 2019. Do we have any changes requested or suggested or considered?
No, just the date of the minutes. And nobody got back to me with any minutes changes. I think it was all correct.
It was all fine.
Okay. All righty. So we'll go ahead and do a vote on the consent agenda when we get through all three, if you guys don't mind.
Okay.
Okay. Item B, presentation of the December financial report, Ms. Horton.
Yes, on the expense voucher report dated December 2019, this lists all of the expense vouchers and payroll vouchers for the month of December. They're pretty normal. The expense voucher for $292,000, that includes the Bisbee tuition of $283,000 approximately. So that is why that voucher is so high. And the voucher number 12 under payroll vouchers for for $76,000. That includes the Fund 011 classroom site fund payment and the 020 Indian gaming money payment. That's why that's a little higher than the $50,000-$60,000.
Okay. Any questions?
I have none.
I have none.
Nor do I. So with that, I'd like to move on to the next item, which would be item C, approval of the December vouchers.
I second the motion.
Are you making a motion to consent agenda?
Well, we're talking about approval of the minutes. I'm sorry. Gotcha. Okay, so
I have nothing on that either.
The seconded by Bree, or who made the motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda item 3.
Okay.
Can I get a second?
I'll second that motion.
Ayes? Aye.
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 Okay. Okay, moving on to our December vouchers. We have no questions there, or do we? We just did our financial report, right? And so we're on our vouchers, or are we approving those in addition?
Well, that's part of the consent agenda.
Okay, all righty. You know, we don't have any questions on the vouchers. That's still part of the financial report anyway.
No.
Yeah. I have nothing. Okay. So at this time, I'd like to move that we approve item 3A, B, and C about the minutes and the financial report and the vouchers.
We should be okay on that, Don, because I think that was okay. The intent of Brisa and Mr. Olmos's motion.
All righty.
So we're good.
Good deal. Okay, so moving on to item 4, reorganization of the school board for the 2020 calendar year. Item A, election of officers. My recommendation would be to have a president and a vice president of the board. So we have paperwork on with the policy pertaining to that. And so, but right now, I guess the president of the board, we have to make a motion to decide who's going to be president, but then we also have a secretary or / clerk who fills in for the president if the person is not available. And so what is the difference between having the president and the clerk? What is the difference between that and adding a position of vice president?
Here's my rationale. And then you guys can chime in however you want to go with it. The reason I suggested a president and a vice president is because when we do a secretary, generally that secretary is in charge of doing all the minutes anyway. And since we don't have anybody on the board that just does the minutes, and a clerk would be the person in charge of all of the different things that we take to the county, which really our business manager does. So honestly, those two titles didn't fit. So that's why I threw out vice president. You can call, just so we honestly need, so we have a second person to run the meeting and we know who's going to do it, so that, say, the president's not here, if you are the president, we don't have Brisa and Mr. Olmos arm wrestling to see who gets to run the meeting. It's just to have an order that way. So whoever the president is, if they're not here, whoever we have in that other position should run the meeting. But I just felt the vice president fit better, simply because the other two titles really have other things tied to them that we don't really do. That was my rationale, but I'm good to go any direction. I'm at a kind of a T in the road, so it can go either way.
Well, and my question is that if the president is available, the secretary would automatically fill in anyway. That's how we've done it in the past. And so the question is that Mr. Olmos is the secretary, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then, so does Mr. Olmos, has he been taking minutes to all the meetings, or?
Well, everybody kind of jots their notes down, but the official, generally speaking, I'm just saying generally now, okay?
Right.
And not every board functions that way. I'm just saying with the titles of secretary and clerk, there are other things that generally go with that. And so, like, I send out the minutes to all of you at the same time. I don't just send them to Mr. Olmos to double-check everything. I've been wrong, and that's possible. It wouldn't be the first time in my life I made a mistake. But I just That's just my, maybe that's my impression and the way I've seen it happen before. Like I said, whatever you guys decide, you are the board, you can decide what the offices look like.
Well, see, all I do know is that in the past, the secretary has automatically acted as president if the president isn't available.
Yep.
And so that's why I really don't understand the necessity to have a vice president. The other thing is that our policy, which is included about the board organizational meetings, we don't have a position in our policy for vice president. So that's something that we would have to address. And this isn't an action item per se to add something to our policy manual. We'd have to have something else later on to set up to add the position of vice president if we so choose to do that. Correct?
Well, yeah, but when I looked at it, and Don, this is just the way I read it. I read the only thing that we have in our minutes, in our policies, is just president. Because when I went through both board organizational meeting and board officers, the president is the only thing mentioned. Yeah. So we don't really even, I know you have an officer that says secretary, but we don't even have that in our policy either.
Yeah.
So that's why I threw that out there. If we have, you know, like I said, you guys can call it whatever you want. Whoever the other officer is should be the one to take over the meeting. I just, you know.
Well, and here's the thing is that all the years I've been on the board, we've just never had a problem with having the secretary or / clerk run the meeting, which you're saying Donna's the clerk. So let's say the secretary would run the meeting. We just never had any question about that.
Yep.
Number two, we're like a 300 student school. We have only a 3-member board. And so, again, this is something that's virtually unheard of, the necessity to have a president, a vice president, and a secretary on a 3-person board, don't you think? It's kind of
I just thought we needed another officer.
You're saying we've never had a problem with who's going to run the meeting in the past.
Yep. I didn't even know we had a secretary until I brought out that I recommended we have a vice president, and then I found out we have a secretary. So,
yeah,
did
he tell you that he had that, was in that capacity?
Actually, I think Brisa told me that he was a secretary, but
I
don't remember.
Okay.
Somebody told me that he had a secretary.
Remember,
so
you guys tell me what you think. I don't really see the necessity for it myself, but what do you guys think?
I think that, like Mr. Macklin said, there's nothing in our policy stating that we need to have a secretary, so I think we're just fine with the president by itself.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. So you don't really feel that we need to have a vice president?
No. To me, honestly, to be quite frank with you, a vice president and a secretary, to me, is semantics.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. That's why
he's right. There's not anything about it in the policy. There's not anything about a president. About a vice president or a secretary, either one. So I think that we're fine with just having president. Personally, we've never had a problem with somebody just filling in if there's a necessity for it, you know. And I never have any reservations. I entrust our board to do what's necessary if I'm incapacitated, you know.
So. I think that if whoever is president is absent, any of the two other board members will be capable of fulfilling that position.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly. I believe that both of you would be fully able to conduct a meeting, and I have no reservations about that at all. So I agree.
Okay.
So basically, I guess we just need to get a motion for. What you guys believe we should do for president. That's pretty much it, and myself. So what do you guys want to do?
So what would be your recommendation as far as who of the three of us becomes president of the board?
Okay.
Are you asking me?
No, I'm asking Don.
Don.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's kind of weird. I
had a conversation with what you guys recommend for president. That's it. And I'm just asking for a motion. So either any three of us can make a motion for recommendation for president.
Okay, so I know that Mr. Olmos last year wanted to become president, and I honestly thought because both of us were new here, it would have been best for you to stay as president since you were the one that has had been here the longest. And I know that they say that it's a good thing to give other people chances, you know, to be different board members or to have the different position, I guess you could say. However, my thing is that, I'm going to speak for myself. I cannot be president at all. I don't have the time to do all the research that you do, especially when it comes to doing audits or whatever it has to be done. From this last year that we've been here at the board, I know you put a lot of time into it, and me with my two jobs and my kids, I really won't be able to do it. Now, I know Mr. Olmos has his job, has his family also, but I don't know if he will be capable of doing and running around like everything that you do. I know we've been putting a lot of stuff on you that you do and run around and get and look for and do research and talk to this and talk to that. But I'm okay with you staying, but if Mr. Olmos wants to go ahead and do it this year for president, I mean, we can try it. I don't know. It's up to you.
Well, see, that's the thing, is somebody has to make a motion to present who they think should be the president. And so somebody has to make a motion to say, I recommend that so-and-so should be the president, and take a vote. That's what it is, necessity. And we, so we can't, it can't just be this or that. It has to be one or the other. And so that's how we have to present it as a motion.
I think maybe we should try something for a change. And I would like to be the president of the board and give that a shot this year.
Would you have the time to do, I mean, I'm not saying everything that she does, but would you have the time to do a lot of the stuff, like research, go to, because I know, I mean, from the past, I know that she has gone, like, in the middle of the day to a meeting. Mm-hmm. I know with you it's going to be, okay, so we have to schedule this because I have to work or anything like that. Yeah. Would that interfere a lot with your job or anything
so,
else?
So, and to be honest with you, right now, like, Mondays and Tuesdays, I could probably spend my time with, and probably spend more time with the superintendent, with Mr. Macklin. As far as research goes, I'm pretty decent at that. I like to look up statutes. One of the statutes I looked into today before coming to this meeting was the ARS for the organization of the board, stuff like that. Going to training, but with the ASBA has been one of the things. I know I couldn't do it this last year, but any other upcoming training that's available, I would like to go. Stuff like that.
Well, and I guess in the end, I'm the only person that probably, I don't have a job other than the classes that I teach and so forth, but I do have a lot of experience as president, and I do have, and all my girls went to NACO school, and so basically my commitment is just to the children, and that we keep our school thriving and having a great place to work, and the children have a great place to learn. And so the question is if you want to split your time with the board, and obviously I was an investigator myself in three different law enforcement capacities, and so I also have that skill and probably a long history of that. So the question is, do you want to compromise your family time to give up your time with your family to do this, or would you, and I have been doing it for some time and I have a lot of experience at it, would you be opposed to my being the president? And again, somebody's going to have to make a motion in order to do one or the other. And so basically you're saying that you want to present yourself as president. I'm saying that I am willing to stay as president because I feel that I have a commitment there. And so I hate to say this, but this pretty much puts it on Ms. Romero to make a motion, because I think that both of us are probably would be great at this. And so it just depends on what you guys want to do. I feel that I can honestly say that what happened last year, had it not been for my persistence, that we would be probably in a lot more trouble than we are right now. And you can't be, you have to be objective. You can't be leaning one way with the superintendent and backing them up whenever their things are going wrong. And so I, because of my instincts in law enforcement, I did follow my gut, and I did find that there was a lot of misdoing and misconduct pertaining to finance. And so do you feel that you could be objective in that position? The other thing is that I'm the only person on the board that does not have a family member or anything working for the school district or something to that effect. I'm the only one, and I know that you don't have legally the term pertaining to conflict of interest as it reads by law, but by appearances itself, I can honestly say I do not have any interest in any particular person at the school that anyone could even possibly say that I would lean one way or another, because I'm not related to or have any personal relationship with anybody at the school. So you guys just tell me what you want to do, because I feel that I earned my time there, and I put in my time. I have a lot of history and experience, and I did, you know, pretty much because of my gut instincts, bring what happened last year to the surface, or we'd still be in a lot deeper debt than we are. And Mr. Elmos does have a fresh outlook, but he also has a job and a family. So it's kind of a catch-22, what you guys want to do.
Yeah, I think we should probably disregard the fact that I have a family and a job. I think you just focus on me being a board member that cares about this school district. Also, one of the parts of being a president of the board is to keep all discussions factual and on the subject at hand. There's been plenty of times that we have had discussions that were not factual and were getting out of hand. I think, what are we talking about? Are you getting into another area? We're talking about a vote.
What are you talking about me not being factual?
I didn't mention any names, Don. I'm just stating something.
No, you made a claim, so tell me what you're insinuating that I was not factual about.
So I think, you know, to be quite frank with you, the shoe fits, wear it.
The what?
If the shoe fits, wear it.
You're being very evasive, and you're making insinuations that I don't know what you're talking about. And so this is a little, we're getting off track here. But it is insulting for you to insinuate that I have some underhanded innuendo or my intentions are. I don't understand where you're coming from with this about your claims. What are you saying that I did exactly? Just tell me.
Again, I want to stay on topic with the organization.
You're the one
of the board.
That said something of like negative said, about me. Know, I haven't said anything negative about you, so.
State to the duties of the president of the board shall be as follows. Preside over all meetings and conduct meetings in accordance with Arizona law and policies of the district. Consult with the superintendent on the agenda for each meeting, which I said I will. Encourage to maintain orderly and democratic participation. And keep all discussions factual and on the subject at hand. And allow for full and complete exploration of each item of business.
One question that I have, did you sign that paperwork, conflict of interest?
No, I did not, and the reason for that is because I do not have any conflict of interest with the school district.
I've never seen a person that, even though it doesn't by law, you don't have a conflict of interest, it's for appearances that you were acknowledging that you would not, that you would stand down on that item.
I have stated before in our school board meetings that if there is something that we need to discuss in regards with a family member that works for this school district, I would excuse myself from that decision. I have stated that before. But as of right now, I do not have any conflict of interest with the school district, so therefore I will not sign a conflict of interest.
I know, I'm just saying it by appearance. You don't really
understand why.
How ridiculous it is.
If you don't, I mean, that was just to protect us, pretty much. I mean, I don't have any conflict of interest, and I have a stepsister that works here.
We need to make sure that we do everything by the law in accordance with Arizona Vice Statutes, and to me, that is not in accordance with Arizona Vice Statute.
Well, and I, to tell you the truth, I have gone by the law, and I've definitely, in this last year, stuck to my guns on the law. But I would like to make a motion to retain myself as president if I could get a second.
Well, I thought you said you couldn't do that, Don.
I thought you said that this falls on Brisa to make that motion. What?
I thought you said that this falls on Brisa to make that motion. So you can't make a motion
on
yourself.
I'll retract my statement. So you got to decide what you want to do. I need a motion.
This is one prime example of what I'm talking about.
But see, and then in the past, you've also done things that we weren't supposed to be doing. I mean,
we're talking about the past, and it's
about following rules, following procedures, and we all know very well that a lot of the stuff, we didn't follow rules, we didn't follow procedures, and you were one of them. That's what I'm trying to say. It's because it always comes to this point where, I mean, obviously, whatever it is, there's going to be that something between you and Don. Fine.
Yeah,
my thing is, I asked Mr. Macklin, did he sign that conflict of interest last time? Mm-hmm. Mr. Macklin said no. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm going to ask him and see if he signed it because I want to hear it from him. Mm-hmm. So the reason you said that you have no conflict of interest, that you didn't sign that paper, my thing is like, there is a conflict of interest with you and somebody else in this school, because by you not signing the paper makes it like, why didn't you sign that paper? Have you read what that paper states, and have you read the statutes? No, I read the paper, but I haven't read the statute. Can I clarify?
I just want to get us back on track. Clarifying the statute, okay, is basically if you have a relative that lives in your house, what I spoke about at that meeting was that My goal was that if there's any perception that there's a conflict of interest, that we try to avoid it. And that's why I brought it up. I brought the form for everybody to sign. I didn't really bring it so that this would all happen. But
I understand, and you said it has to live in the house, or but see, to me, it would be like whether or not that relative lived in my house, just because we work or because I'm part of the school board and they work at the school that I am part of the board for, it was just like, for me, it would be just like, you know what, I have nothing to hide, I have no conflict of interest, I am here for the kids, and actually I'm here for the teachers too, because the teachers know very well, I know how hard they had it when changes came, I know it, and I saw it, and people talked to me and the same way they talked to him, but there was total different conversations when they were talking to him and when they were talking to me. Now, yes, we're getting way off subject here. My thing is, I honestly think there is a big conflict of interest between Mr. Olmos and another person working here at the school. There's going to be something. And that's going to bring it all the time. Now, I know where I want to say maybe half of the teachers are leaning to being president, who should be president here. And I don't think it's fair that I should make this decision. It's only
me
three
either.
Of us.
I know.
And I don't think it's fair for me to make the decision in this way, because if I make the decision, trust me, tomorrow somebody's going to call my work to try and jeopardize it. Somebody's going to unfriend me on Facebook. Somebody's going to send a mean letter to me or anything because I picked the wrong person. And I
don't think you're right. You're completely right. And the thing is, it should not be about that. There should not be this dissension and division with our board. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And we're supposed to work together. And from the first day that Momus was there, he said he was wanting to be president, and it's been like stuck in his craw here. You know, and so this isn't about our school. It's not about the kids. It's not about the teachers. It's about him being president. If he wants to be president, then let's just make him president, you know?
Well, then that's the other thing. Is he going to have enough time to do it? Because
well,
I know he said not to mention family.
Let's put him in that position then, you know, Ms. Romero. Let's see how he does. And sink or swim. He thinks he's arrogant enough to think he can't. And he obviously doesn't have any faith in me. He's made accusations against me, which is totally offensive. I've done nothing but represent this school in its best interests and our students, and all my kids went here too. And so I think it's very offensive the way that he is so condescending to me. It is awful to be treated like that by a man. I've never seen
anybody like that in my life.
So I'd like to make a motion that Mr. Olmos be the president that he wants to be.
I second that motion.
Motion carries. Mr. Olmos, your president. Congratulations. Item 5. Consent agenda, part 2. Approval, reading volunteers, Joan Reichel and Larry Safady. Joan Reichel, I know by in person. She's a wonderful person. She's very committed to the reading program. She's also a part of the Bisbee, the dance programs that I'm involved in. Larry Safady, I know him personally. He's an artist. He'd be great making sets for plays. He wants to, enjoys reading. He's a phenomenal artist and a great person, and I know him personally also. They were just wanting to get on the list to read under Ms. Jewell. And so neither one of these people will be working on their own, alone. They'll be working under our wonderful librarian, Ms. Jewell. So without any other discussion, I would like to move
to... I have more chaperones.
We have to add the three chaperones.
Oh, sorry, chaperones. Okay, let's go to B and do them both. You're right. Sorry, okay. I'm a little rattled. I wonder why.
Item
B, approval of authorized signatories for district checking accounts policy DGA, Dog George Apple, and authorizing Washington National Bank as a bank safeguarding school auxiliary funds and revolving funds policy D like in David, G like in George. Do we have any discussion?
We need to add to letter A three chaperones for Ms. Thomas. They are Alexis Thomas, Yvette Hernandez, and Mario Flores.
And these are for a dance?
This is for a dance and...
Yvette Hernandez and Mario Flores?
What?
Okay, all right.
Okay, so there's three chaperones that are going to be added for the dance. It's Alexis Thomas, Yvette Hernandez, and Mario Flores.
Okay,
so we need to, those are the three that we needed to add, that we have on the agenda, but that's the one that you don't have.
Okay, so we'll just, I have it right in front of me here. So in addition to Reichel and Safady, we're adding Thomas, Hernandez, and Flores, the last three as chaperones, and pertaining to the bank signatories. So can I get, I'd like to make a motion to accept items 5A and B.
Well, it's actually on our paper here is A and C because B is blank.
Yeah, I hit
I have A and B.
I hit a return
okay.
And
it
I forgot
is, yeah.
To delete it. That's
it
moment.
Is items A and B.
I guess A, B, and C for the consent agenda part two.
Yeah,
I don't have a C, so I'm just going by.
Yeah, it's going to be A and B because actually C was just.
I had a return in there between A and B, and
yeah.
I shouldn't have, and I forgot to delete it.
I should have said
right, so you're making a motion to...
It's a non-issue because we still have items A and B to approve. Is that not right?
Yes.
A
and you're
B,
making
yes.
A motion to approve item 5, consent agenda part 2, right?
That's right.
I'll second that motion.
Almost second. Ayes?
Aye.
Action item 6. Presentation, discussion, possible vote on program offered by Cochise County. The Cochise County Health and Social Services is offering a free abstinence plus teen pregnancy prevention program to the county schools and youth organizations. Attached, you will find a listing of the various age-appropriate curriculums that are approved by the Arizona Department of Health Services, the National Association of School Nurses, and the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy. These curriculums are available for delivery in your organization. Do we have any questions or concerns?
Well, I have Nancy Lopez here. Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
Nice to see you. She joined us, and she's here to answer any questions. And if you would like, a brief outlook, I'm looking at it as for grades 7th and 8th. I haven't opened it up with 6th grade. I did get some information that Bisbee is going to go with their 6th graders also. But I didn't have them included. If the board would like that I include the 6th grade in the program, if we, are okay with it, that I can do also. It would be a sheet I would send home, approval sheet. I'd probably ask if she's got
a copy. Right?
So, but if anybody has questions, or can I just give Nancy the floor and she can talk for a minute or two and give us a brief update of what they do? What would you prefer?
Have her talk.
Actually, okay. I don't have any reservations about it myself. I know that in the past we have had Quite often, a seventh or an eighth grader have a baby, and I'm not saying that as a negative thing, but I do think that they should have the information and the resources to prevent pregnancy if they so choose also.
Okay.
And so I don't see anything negative about it. I think that it is something we could be well utilized by our school.
All right. We'll give Nancy the floor for a few minutes and let her talk about her program.
Okay.
All right.
So my name is Nancy. I'm the health educator. And we have two currently curriculums that we offer. Both of them are based in abstinence. So we do have one that offers more information on birth control and condoms. The other one is mainly abstinence. We do talk about the different types of sex because that's the way that kids get STDs. And that will be up to the school to decide which one they want to do. We do from sixth grade to high school, so that will be up to you guys to decide.
And these parents have to approve of it, right?
Yes, we send a permission slip to the parents, and it has everything that we're going to be covering.
Do you have that in Spanish and English?
We do have it in Spanish and English.
When you say the types of sex, what are you referring to?
Anal sex, oral sex, and vaginal.
Okay. And I know this has been a hot topic with our society lately. Is this going to be female and male, or is it going to be female and female and male and male?
With this curriculum, we only male and female.
Male and female, okay.
I like it because as long as the parents agree with the students taking that class. So, okay, so for instance, half of the students, parents approve and the other half didn't approve. What would the other half be going to or doing?
We would have something set up. They're 1 hour programs. So
okay.
For the hour at that time that group would be going, we would have to have something else.
And that's
set up.
A one time class?
So both of the curriculums are eight lessons.
Eight lessons,
we need an hour. So it will be up to you guys to decide whether we do 2 hours a day for 4 days or 1 hour a day for 8 days or 4 hours a day for 2 days. And we need to split boys and girls. We need to have them separated.
Oh, so they're not going to be in the same classroom?
They cannot be in the same classroom.
Oh,
only high school.
That'll help some of them not be so embarrassed. The thing, when I got this, the reason, I mean, just all you need to do is turn the TV on and see the huge riots going on right now up in Phoenix about sex education. So I didn't want to be anybody. I felt this was for us to have a discussion. But to me, we have to be able to give the kids information coming from an adult because they get it no matter what.
We have to be a little bit more open than
right.
When we were in school.
When we were
in school, it was so different. I mean, it was you would not talk about it. God
you
forbid you ask your mom
will,
or dad,
yeah,
forget
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know.
But nowadays,
yeah.
It is so different. I mean, to be honest, I would sign the permission slip because it is so many things that are out there right now with kids getting pregnant at a very young age, getting an STD, getting some kind of disease that will track it for life. But I think it's a great project if we approve of it.
Well, I think a lot of people are very private about it, and so those parents can abstain from the program if they so choose, you know.
So then it comes down to which program would you like to have? Would you like to go just abstinence, or would you like to have abstinence and, you know, birth control information?
I think both.
Well, could we give the parents a choice?
Well, we would need to pick which program, because otherwise we would have to set up almost double
duty. Split them up, right.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, when you say abstinence and birth control, we're not talking about somebody walking in the room and throwing out 50 condoms.
No, we don't give them condoms.
Yeah, and let me tell you, the problem we had before when we were doing this program, somebody brought it in, but it was not authorized by the parents. The parents didn't know about it. And the one that was promoted through the school with a different superintendent was also promoting homosexuality. And that was what some of the parents had a problem with, because they really didn't feel it was age appropriate. They didn't feel it was something that a lot of the children had even considered at that age, you know, at the fourth grade is whenever they were talking about this. And so that's why I feel that I think that if the parents, I don't know, what do you guys think? Do you think that they're going to go for just the abstinence? Do you want to do the whole
shebang?
What do you think?
I would go for the whole thing, to be honest. It's
okay.
Like,
And if they don't want their children to participate, they don't have to.
Well, that's, they have that option either way. I think it'd be better
that's
to
what
do
I mean.
That.
They, and they the don't other have question, to sign it, and they don't have to participate if they are against it and they're, you know, want to handle it themselves. So
right. The other question then for you guys to decide is include the sixth grade.
Okay.
Because
I think we should just do the whole program personally myself also.
We're letting all the parents decide. And, you know, I don't want to say one group or another, but we generally, we have some of the young people who, once they turn 14, think they're 21. Mm-hmm. It's not usually the guys, but anyway, I'll just, you know, and I think we have to give that information if we can. And if we make it available and someone chooses not to have their child involved in it, at least then they can't come back and say, we at least didn't have a program for them if something
happens. That's right. Mm-hmm. So when you all want to make a motion?
I think 6 years, in my opinion, is a little too young still. 7 and 8, in my opinion, would be more appropriate.
I would
I think the parents have a right to decide personally.
I would include the sixth grade. It's just that, I mean, I have family members from ages kindergarten, newborns to high schoolers. And honestly, right now, from what I see, sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade, they think they know more than a high schooler. And then they're all like, whoa, they're the perfect ones, to be honest. But they have to get ahead of reality, too.
What do you
well,
think,
with
Dawn?
Technology,
you think,
they can see anything they want at any given time, so it is not the
and
same world as it
parents.
Was. And
where
sixth graders
need
to be aware, so I agree that sixth graders should be involved.
Yeah.
If you guys are concerned about the sixth graders, we can do the abstinence only with sixth graders and abstinence plus for seventh and eighth.
No, that's not at all. I would say
well, and again, the sixth graders' parents don't have to sign the authorization either. So
we're gonna offer it, and it's gonna be up to the parents to decide whether or not they would.
Ultimately, it's up to them. Exactly.
To participate in it. Yeah.
We have some young ladies who want to grow up really fast, and at least we make this available so they understand that, you know.
We do have a condom demonstration where we do bring in a penis model and we show them how to put on a condom correctly. If you guys don't want them to participate, it's okay, but we still have to teach
it's part of the class.
I think that's part of the class.
It's part of the class.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to say yes to the class, it has to be the full class now. We're not going to delete this part, take this part away, and put this at this one over here. So
when the forms go out to the parents, is it going to list details about what the classes are going to consist of?
I have all the modules.
Such as bringing a penis model.
It would be just
penis,
like
penis model and birth control demonstration.
Okay.
So everything's going to be in the permission set.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready to make a motion on this.
Don, any more discussion?
No.
Okay. Lisa?
No.
Good to go. All right.
I would like to make a motion to approve item 6. And offer both classes to the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders.
For item A?
6A. 6A.
6A.
6A, yes. 6A.
I second that motion.
Aye.
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 Next item, Mr. President?
Give me 1 second.
We're on 6B.
All right, 6B, presentation, discussion, and vote on the contract with Dobridge Company, PC. They are the auditing firm recommended for a contract for the next 5 years, including the 2018-2019, 2019-2020, 2020-2021, 2021-2022, and 2022-2023 school years.
Mr. Macklin?
We put it out to everybody that we knew that did audits, and actually we put it out twice and we got one back, and it was Dobridge came in $3,125, I want to say cheaper than what we've been paying Heinfeld and Meech. Again, rationale for switching companies, it wasn't that we didn't like Heinfeld and Meech, but Heinfeld and Meech is who we've been using as a consultant to work through the issues with the Auditor General and the problems that we had last year. So we had to have a different company. They had to have no conflict. They had to have nothing tied to us prior. And Dobridge is a company, probably the second biggest company, I think, at least in this area. I did talk to two schools that use them, and they use, we actually got Mr. Dobridge is going to be our auditor, and both of them said that they were very happy with the way that they worked. So it felt very straightforward, and it wasn't any beating around the bush, and so they said he was very good. So I said, well, we only got one, so I'm hoping that he's good. And they said that they thought we'd be happy with him. So that was what I got. I don't know what you heard, Donna, from anybody, but that was actually the company that our consultant recommended to, that she had worked with and said that they would be good.
So they would take.
I personally don't really need any more information because I know that Heinfield and Meese, they've been there for the ride for a long time. I think it'd be good to have some kind of a new outlook on our finances. Personally.
So they'll take over completely?
They will, yep. And then it's a five-year contract. And we had to send the proposed contract to the state auditor general. They sent it back to us. What you have is the finished copy of that in your packet. And it runs through the audit of 2023, sorry.
I have nothing.
Okay, and ultimately the final price we're going to pay them after 5 years is, I think, still cheaper than what we're paying right now. So I think we got a good deal, and we still got a quality firm. So okay.
Do you have anything, Don?
I do not. I'm ready to go.
Okay. I motion that we should go ahead and go with Dobridge Company.
I'll second that motion.
I'll second it.
Done. I'm second.
Aye.
Next.
Okay. Let's see.
160. Mr. President.
Presentation, discussion, and possible vote on. Oh, DK. Payment procedures. This will allow vouchers and salary expenses. This is something that you do every year. It's basically just a rubber stamp. This allows us to pay bills in between board meetings in case something happens, like last week when we had two board members basically and unable to make the meeting. We still are able to pay the bills, and we don't have to worry about having any anything happen. So
this is something we do every year, correct, Tim?
Yes. You've done it at least the last 3 years when I look back. So
right,
this is not
exactly
anything new.
This is not a new development. So I don't have any questions about this.
Don't have any too.
No.
Anybody want
to
make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to accept, see if it is.
I'll second that.
Almost seconds, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. 6D, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on restructuring the front office and some assignments of personnel.
All right. I just got to catch up, so give me 1 second here. Not a good combination. You guys are moving fast, and I'm so tight. Work on it. Okay. What we are working on is to try to get us lined up for these audits. And we're using and moving some people around. And I have talked to all of the people, and they all have actually been doing this because we started to plan for it to start last Wednesday. So that's when we started working on it because we thought we were having a board meeting. But we have reassigned our para, Mr. Silverstein. He was a part special ed and part title. He is now a one-on-one para in special ed, and he's also doing some special ed transportation and title. Similar, it's just that he's doing a little more special ed now than he was. Along with that, we've taken the one-on-one para who was doing that, and she's also doing special ed transportation, and we are using her in the office because she was our backup office person. And along, tied into that, has been taking Miss Elias for three or so hours a day and using Miss Elias to help with some things in the business office. So between actually Miss Borquez and Miss Elias, we've been getting all the filing and everything else done, caught up, and we've been teaching Ms. Elias to do some of the other tasks so that we can stay ahead of the game and hopefully be more prepared for our audit, the next audit that comes, and do make sure we're ready for this one, because this is the one that is also expensive. And then with that, Donna's kind of given Ms. Elias a few things to do, and Ms. Borquez has helped with the filing also. So that's kind of what we've done, and nothing too astronomically wild. And we've got people that are still doing things in the areas we hired them for or have used them for. No added time or anything like that. It's more of a shifting of manpower to try to help us here. The only negative with it, and I'll be the first to say it because I'm always talking about what's best for the kids, I truly think that the changes that we made are really good for the kids. I think that using Mr. Silverstein is doing a very, very good job and actually blending in well with the IEP for the one-on-one student. Ms. Borquez is really got the filing down. She knows where every box is and all the different things. So I think that the shifts that we made have been very beneficial for us. How long we need to stick with this, I don't know. We may be able to shift back once we get everything flowing. But I would like to be able to use Ms. Elias for some of the things that we're training her for right now anyway. So to take a little bit of a load off of the business manager position, because in our building, of course, we have one person that does it all. And I know we've had different people do it. I just know right now we need to do a few different things a little different to make sure that we're doing it right.
I think we should entrust your idea, and I think it'd be worth a try. That's my personal opinion. So,
I just have one question.
Yes.
The duties that they're going to be doing, is that covered under their job description?
It is under everything that we've paid them for previously. That's why I said basically we kind of shifted around. The only thing that's a little bit different is we went with the person who we had hired for special ed and title para and sped transportation. He really wasn't doing a lot of one-on-one. Like right now, he's doing half a day of one-on-one.
But it's still under his job.
It's all under special ed, yes. It's special ed para. So, and then we had been using Ms. Borquez actually at three different facets, and now, right now, we're not using her in special ed. We have shifted all of her pay to the office position, which we had already approved her for, and special ed transportation and bus transportation. So we have not moved anything that they have not been approved to be paid for. It's all there, and we haven't increased their hours at all. If we see that, say the teachers, Ms. Mott or Ms. Torres or somebody else comes to me and said, we're really being hurt because Mark is not able to work with our students, and we'll have to come up with another adjustment. But right now I feel like it's been a positive change. So, and I haven't heard negatives yet, but it's only been a few days. So that's not to say I'm not right, not wrong.
Nothing else.
But I want to make sure it was approved, because then we're good with all of the things we talked about at the last meeting as far as what we pay people for.
Do you have anything else, Don?
No, I do not.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to approve item 6D, the restructuring of the front office.
Can I get second that motion?
Aye.
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 Item E.
Item E, presentation, discussion, possible vote on following recommendations from ASBA policy GCO-RA, evaluation of professional staff. If we have staff who can be required to have two evaluations in a school year but are performing at one of the two highest performing areas after their first evaluation, the governing board may waive the second evaluation. This would only happen if the individual or individuals score in the top two categories and there is no need for remediation or a plan of improvement. This would be left up to an administrative decision and for the remainder of the 2019-2020 school year.
Yeah, I'm not asking for this to be a blanket cover. I have two staff right now who are, where they would get another evaluation. Both of those staff scored in the top area, and I'm not going to say it'd be a waste of time because going in and out of classrooms and watching people, watching the little guys and everything is fun. But when you do each evaluation between the teacher time and my time, you're talking about 4 or 5 hours to have everything written up, do the evaluation, 3 different meetings. And I guess I feel, in all honesty, that I don't need to do an official evaluation on those two people. If the board would like me to stick with it, and I can do that. I just want to make sure that we have the evaluations done and we're getting into the testing window and all that other junk and with the audits. So that's where I came from. I did make copies of it, sorry. I'm sorry, Don, I didn't give you a copy of this policy. I made a copy of it, but it basically goes through the formal evaluation process, and I think I mentioned to all of you guys individually why and all that. So if there's anybody that has a question or would like to have
I'm pretty familiar with the evaluation with the policy, so I'm fine with it. Sounds good.
It does follow the policy, you know. And ultimately, I believe, you know, for me anyway, it would be something, if I had that situation each year, I'd bring it back to you. So I wouldn't just...
All righty. Sounds good to me.
...and do it.
Hello?
Yeah, we're reading the policy. We're kind of going over it briefly.
Do you think the teachers would have or mind that two of them are only getting one evaluation?
You know, I would say this. If I'm an experienced teacher and I hire, both of the teachers I'm talking about have 20 to 30 years or more of experience, and someone
on the staff
will complain.
They're experienced teachers that are at the top of our ladder. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Someone on the staff is going to complain because someone on the staff complains about everything. If I open the door 5 minutes or turn the light on the wrong switch, I'm going to hear about it. If I have a different person do this, I hear about it. Actually, if I don't hear about it, they go in and complain to Mrs. Lewis. So someone will complain. I'm not worried about what they're complaining about. If the person wasn't a good teacher, I wouldn't bring it to you.
Okay.
Personally,
people just need to do their job and quit nitpicking some of this stuff. It's ridiculous.
So anybody can really get up to being those teachers that only get one evaluation?
Actually, after you've been here, it's 3 years, right? You only have one anyway.
So can't I talk?
Yeah.
Is because even though I have 20 years of experience, I still had, every time you go to a new district, for the first 3 years, you still have to have 2 evaluations. And so all of us veterans, we've had to do that. So it shouldn't be no big deal to have 2 evaluations if you're at the top, because you just do your natural job. And I know it's more time for you, and I'm sorry, but I just think it should be fair to all the teachers that have the same requirements, and not say, just because you have 30 years experience, well, you only need one, even though this is your second year here. You need to follow the policy that's been set for all these years. In many districts, they have 3 years and 2 evaluations. Else you can have hard feelings, I think. Not. And I understand that these people are good teachers, but I think it's because that we all had to follow that policy before, so now all of a sudden we're going to change it. And some people say, you know, I just think it should just keep the same.
Well, I think somebody would only have a second evaluation if their first one wasn't, they needed improvement. Is that not correct?
No, every teacher has, every teacher that's been here less than 3 years has two evaluations no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about improvement. Now, if you're on
right.
it, and if you have, if you're in the low category and you need improvement, then you need to be on an improvement plan. So I don't,
right.
I mean, that's not my job.
If you were here, 10 years and you had a bad evaluation,
mm-hmm.
you'd be placed on a plan of improvement.
Okay.
So this is my, I mean, honestly, I've never done it. I've never done that before, but I very seldom do you, usually anyway, I would say, you don't run into situations with the staff where you have people with that many years. I don't see a reason to do it. I do understand where Ms. Torres is coming from. I Mrs. Torres and I talk plenty, you know, and I get it. I'm just, I'm putting it out there because I don't want to do an evaluation of somebody and say, hurry up, we got to get a quick, I want to get it done because I've got to meet this deadline, I've got to meet that deadline. I want them to just worry about teaching. And so that's why I brought it to you. You know, I wasn't trying to hide anything with it or anything, you know. So
I think
that,
you're going to hurt feelings. That's why I think we should just keep the policy the same so that you don't.
I think the number of years, so I understand where you're coming from. It makes sense to me, so.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should. We hired Mr. Maxson as a superintendent. We should trust him to make those type of decisions for the school district. I'm ready to make a motion if you.
What are you doing?
You don't have any more discussion?
No.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to approve item 6E. Can I get a second, please?
Second. I'll second.
Nice.
Aye.
Aye. Three ayes. All right, item F, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on the calendar change for February 12th and 13th, as recommended by Mr. Macklin. Rationale and the recommended changes are as follows. On February 12th and 13th, we have conferences scheduled, and in February, we only have one staff development day. What I am proposing is an early release at 12:45 on Wednesday, the 12th of February, and we hold conferences from 1 to 7 p.m. And we do early release on Thursday at 12:45 to avoid confusion by parents picking up students on February 13th and have PD from 1 to 3.
And along with
I personally
that,
don't have any questions about this. I think it totally makes sense, and it's his recommendation. I'm ready to go on it, personally.
I just also wanted to say that we do have a dance on Thursday night, too, from 5 to 8. So that was
Ooh.
I was trying to figure out what night was better because I always, where I've been at, Wednesday nights were taboo because it was church night. But that doesn't seem to be a big issue. So I did that because I've had three or four parents talk to me about they work till 5 o'clock and they really would like to be able to come, but they can't come. I had those comments after the fall conference. And so I thought, if there's a way to do it and make it work, and then really for the staff that are not chaperoning, they get Friday off on Valentine's Day, so they get to start with a long holiday, and they get an extra, you know, they can get out of here at 3 o'clock, and they're not sitting around till 4. Sometimes parents don't get here until 4 o'clock, and as a teacher, you're not going to pull your shades and go out the back door because you don't want to talk to somebody at 4 o'clock. So I know I had a few teachers that were here till almost 5 o'clock last time. And I think now that we know that it's later and we get that information to parents, I think that we'll get a lot of positives. Spring conferences usually, at least where I've been, have never been well attended. So I'm hoping this will help get more people in the door also. That's why I recommended it.
And teachers are okay?
I sent it out to the teachers and I said, please come and let me know if you don't like it. And I got no negative responses. I was surprised, so I was.
We don't get that many people the second day, anyways, usually.
And you'd rather, as a teacher, be talking to parents than twiddling your thumbs.
Well, maybe not.
That's not what parents.
That can't talk. option to do the parent-teacher conference. Do I have to read all that?
No.
I'll second.
I'm sorry.
You want to you want to approve item F, right?
Item F.
Please.
All
right.
Thank
you. So read the motions, right?
Yes.
I second.
Aye.
Aye.
Item G, presentation, discussion, and possible vote on improving the use of the consultant to help finish preparation for the Auditor General re-audit for 2017-2018 and working through the cap put in place by the Auditor General Office and working with the district to self-audit 2018-2019 prior to audit for the 2018-2019 school year. The proposed cost would be for up to but not to exceed $10,500 for the time period of January 15th through March 15th of 2020.
All right. So, I know, and we always put in, someone graciously highlighted in the lounge that we were proposing this, but I think the thing is if we don't get these two done correctly and it doesn't work right, the cost for us to have the Auditor General come out another time is going to be much more than $10,500. And so we would be paying for three or four people to come out here for two or three days, and we would be paying their hourly rates, and instead of having one consultant try to help us, we'd have three or four people at that pay rate or higher coming out here, and we would get stuck with the bill. The $10,500 is just worst case scenario. If we had two or three three-day and a two-day session where we had to have a consultant here to clean things up, that's what it would run, two three-day sessions and a two-day session. I don't think we're going to need that, but we are tapping out the money that we've allotted to be able to use, so that's why I'm bringing this to you. I said back when we talked about that I would come back to you before we went past that, and so that's where we are right now. I think we've made strides, and the Auditor General, we have to make substantial improvement. I think it just is in, depending upon what they draw out, because they're going to come in and tell us to pull certain things and send them, and then they'll come in and pull certain things. So really depending upon how all those draws go, I mean, you can always find something wrong in an audit. So if they happen to draw the things that, you know, we've cleaned up and fixed, great. We're in a lot better shape today than we were on July 1st. I don't feel confident that we're in great shape, and I am very nervous about the 2018-2019 audit. I really feel like we have things cleaned up right now and we're doing it correctly. I am very nervous about everything, all of the receipts being attached, all of that kind of stuff. I'm just a little nervous about it.
We should be, for sure.
The timeliness of some of the things and the reconciliations of statements and things, we're going to get dinged. I mean, I want everybody to understand. I mean, I don't want to be here and say we need this $10,500 and it's going to come back squeaky clean. I can guarantee you it's not going to be squeaky clean. But I think we're going to be in a lot better shape today than we were in even 2 months ago. But we still have a ways to go, and we have about a week to get there. So we need to make some hay and finish cleaning things up. The consultant's been working via internet and pulling stuff that way, and she'll be here tomorrow again, and so that's. That's what that's all about, and because I had promised you that if we were going to go past anything or we were going to use up the money that you've already approved, that we'd be back, and that's where we're at. I don't like spending any money. Teachers probably will tell you because I've turned things down that they wanted to buy, but I do think that we need to get things cleared up. We need to get this district back to where we are on firm ground and everything's being done correctly, and then we need to move forward and we need to cut. These costs should not be there as you move forward next year.
Well, I don't think you really have a choice. I think it's something that we have to take care of and we have to get it behind us, you know.
It's,
so That's why I don't have any reservations on the vote.
It's
we do have to
one
do
of those
this.
Things that I
mean,
feel
that's
like
all there is to it.
So nobody likes to spend the money, but I think that we're looking to try to save the district money in the long run. Questions, anybody?
No, I have nothing.
No.
Anyone want to make a motion?
You want to make a motion, Don?
Go ahead.
All right, I would like to make a motion to approve item 6G.
Second that motion.
Aye.
Just a second.
Aye. Aye.
All right.
There's superintendent's report.
Yes, I got a couple of things. The superintendent report, and I sent out last week to all of the board members. I have one or two things to add to that. First thing on there was about conferences and why it was beneficial to change the calendar, get that done tomorrow and get the information out. On January 6th, we held a mandatory D and F school rating meeting. Fortunately, two of our staff members showed up. Nobody else came. Weather wasn't that bad. Actually, it was kind of nice that night, so I think maybe people had a lot of other things they wanted to do. But we did talk about at that meeting with the two staff members what I would have talked about with all of the other people in we're working to increase our attendance at school, and you wouldn't know that by the last couple of days of school because every time it rains, we have all these people that are amazingly sick, and then they come back with all this energy when it's sunny out. The use of English in our classrooms and, some of the things with that we have with a high ELL rate and a pretty transient population. I guess I was a little surprised. I didn't think we would have as many kids in and out as we do, but we've got quite a few coming in and out. I had something on here to talk about Heinfeld and Meech and then explain why we had Dobridge as an auditor, and I covered that in the meeting. We are almost done with NWEA mid-year testing. Mrs. Morgan is just, she can see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a train
right
now.
We have like three or four more students.
She's very close.
We'll be done.
And I think we're pretty close on the Dibbles testing for the move on with reading stuff also. I talked a little bit in here about the staff alignments and positions, which we've already covered. I'm also looking at possible ways that maybe we could be able to add to our curriculum. Obviously, if we get everything straightened out with our books and as we move forward, hopefully the money we've been spending to fix the things that weren't quite right, we can use for some other things. Whether that's, working with the teachers and working on some things maybe for centers, guided math and guided reading and things like that. Or maybe it's, I know the teachers would love to, if we were ever able to add music and art, or maybe another PE teacher or a part-time one or the other, different things like that. So I've been trying to look at a lot of things. I've also been looking, as I've mentioned to all of the board members, I've been looking at the maintenance and custodial areas and trying to see how we can better fit a school our size. I've spoken with basically every school in Cochise County and tried to narrow down the schools that are our size, and I can't find one school our size that has a head maintenance and a head custodian. Mm-hmm. I can't find one school that has five people under that umbrella. So I think that's something we have to make some hard choices for as we move forward, and I'll bring that as something probably at the March meeting. I'll try to have some options for you there. But there are some things that we can do that we can look at and I think still do a good job. Let's see, number seven on there. Many things that I mentioned so far this year, my true hope is that we build better teamwork here at NACO. We have a lot of people who will do anything and everything for anybody who needs help and any kid who needs anything. I truly hope we get everybody on board with that. I think that I feel like we're closer than we were. I still feel like we still have a ways to go with some people, but I'm hoping we can get there. Number eight I added today, and that is at the meeting I was at last week, the CASA meeting, which is the Cochise Area School Superintendents Association, we're throwing out a question because the state superintendent of schools, Kathy Hoffman, was coming down for our in-service on Friday. And they said, is there anybody who would like to host the state superintendent? I raised my hand, right away. Come here. Nobody else was too terribly excited about it. So she will be visiting us Thursday at between 11:15 and 1 o'clock. And as soon as I get a little bit better time, it truly looks like it's going to be about 11:30. She'll be here for about an hour. If any of the board members want to, are able to stop down and say hi to her, I'd sort of like to introduce you to them. I don't know how many people she's bringing. I know she's bringing a group of people with her. And then we'll take her around the school, or talk to the third grade through the eighth grade today, the students, because I've been talking especially to the older kids about pride and how they carry themselves and all that kind of stuff. And so I let them know that she'll be coming, and I want them to know that I wanted to make sure she came to our school because I want us to be able to show her what cool kids we have, what a good group of kids we have, what a good school we have, good staff, and let people in Phoenix know that we're doing good things down here too, and we're not satisfied with that D rating as a school. That's not who we are. We're not below average. I have a list of a few things that we're going to talk about. They also gave us the opportunity to sit down with her one-on-one on Friday. And so I am going to do that. I'm also going to go to a supper on Thursday night where she's going to be at in Tombstone. And so I have different things, and I've asked the staff if they have ideas that I'm not thinking of to get back to me. And I did get... Mr. Rodriguez came up with something good for computers, so I did get one thing to add to my list, but things I'm going to talk about, I'm just going to talk to her about her progressive push for education and thank her and tell her if she needs help with things to let us know out here in the sticks. I am going to talk about my concern for that SRO and counselor grant program, let her know that I'm extremely disappointed, and there's probably no place in the state that needs a counselor or an SRO more than we do, and how they decided to do that, and I know that wasn't her committee, but to choose 16 Mesa schools counselors, and I don't know how many Mesa SROs. Mesa is not a rural school by any stretch of the imagination, or the biggest school district in the state. So I'm really disappointed with that. I'm not going to harp on the negatives, but I am also then going to talk to her about ADE trainings that I've been to. The fact that she does have some good people working for her, but also asking her to maybe think about people out in the rest of the state where they could have trainings instead of just Phoenix. And, sometimes they come to Tucson and sometimes they go to Flagstaff, but, they don't have to have a straight line. They could, venture and go at different angles once in a while, move it around. I also want to let her know the OLS conference was very good, and I got a chance to meet a couple of her people there, and they were excellent presenters. They're going to be actually at our conference or our workshop on Friday. I'm also going to talk to her about state testing and the fact that if we truly want to know student growth, we can't measure it by taking a test on March 7th in 2018 and March 8th in 2019 and get a true student growth package. We should be doing something more on the line of NWEA or things like that. But I know the answer to me is going to be the legislature has to agree to that. Right now they're not. But I am going to mention to her about NWEA, and I don't know what her background is, other than she was a special ed teacher, but I don't know if she's ever worked in a school that has something like NWEA. Not that that's the answer for everything, but the testing at different times during the year. When they walk into my classroom, they now take a test, and then I know where they're at. And then when they take a test in January, it shows me what we've done, and it shows me where I need to maybe do a different or better job if they're lagging. Mr. Rodriguez brought up that in 1999 or 2000, somewhere around 20 years ago, the School Facilities Board implemented a plan to upgrade and balance the network infrastructure. And it hasn't been improved since, really. And so that's where some of our problems are, dealing with filters. And he and Ms. Morgan are putting their fingers in the dike and trying to make sure that things don't get through. But if the state put money in it at that time, if they would turn around and maybe upgrade that system, it probably would help all of the schools, because there's so many things out there on the internet right now, and different attacks, the malware attacks on different districts that are costing them millions of dollars. And then I just want to talk to her and let her know that we appreciate the fact that she's working for educators and the educational system. And I got a chance to listen to her talk. And if she is able to come through with half of the stuff she'd like to do, I think it would be great for the state. But she is a politician also, so try to keep that in mind also. But those are all the things I have. I know that was quite a bit. Don, I will email you that and my updated report so you have a copy of it. But that's all I have for you tonight. Anybody have questions for me? If you think of anything to add to that superintendent discussion with the state superintendent, just shoot me an email.
Mm-hmm. All right. Item 8, adjournment. I would like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Second the motion.
And we need to pick a day in February that we would like to meet.
The 4th of February is the first Tuesday. The 4th is the first Tuesday of the month. Or the
11th,
whichever.
That's going to be 2 weeks from now. Is that okay with everybody?
The personally, we have Janelle Chisholm here the 3rd and 4th, so I'll meet with her when she leaves, but I would be done with that meeting by 4:30. The 11th, we start Azella testing on the 5th, so... it really doesn't matter either one of those days. So if you guys have a preference.
We were going to start like the second week, because that way Don can get a lot of the financial reports.
The 4th is kind of early.
Yeah.
So, I think the 11th would probably fit better. And since we ended up having the meeting today, if the 11th works for you guys, it probably would work best.
Give me a little breathing room to get W-2 finished.
Yep. Don, how about the 11th?
That's fine.
Okay, 5:15.
Okay, I made a motion to adjourn. Lisa, second. Ice.
Ah.
Aye.
Okay. All right.
And then is that a yes from Don?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. All right.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Not for me. I'll see you.